Well, it is Monday morning, and we did not gather yesterday. It was the first Sunday of the COVID-19 recommendations, so we did a live stream, and if you want to grab that video, you can go to Facebook, see it there. Other ways, if you don't have a Facebook, you can go to our website, go to Sermons, and when you get to Sermons, the drop-down menu will say Live Stream. That is a place where all the videos we're doing on Facebook end up there. So that's an easy way if you don't have a Facebook to get our videos and also to see the live stream from yesterday. Though we did that live stream, I wanted to provide the audio portion of the message because it won't drop down to podcast into iTunes. That's just an audio feature. So I wanted to take just a couple of minutes and provide the audio so that could hit the podcast. So here you go. But as I begin, I want to mention how amazed I am at God's sovereign care for his church. As I talk to so many different pastors who, like us, make it a regular habit to preach through books of the Bible, all of them said that what they had planned long ago, come to find out, was exactly what the church needed. And that is certainly true of us. The text we will look at today will absolutely provide a timely word for us. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews are Greek, slaves are free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? And I will show you still a more excellent way. This scripture is incredible and timely for us today. The first section of this text, verses 12 through 14, give us our glorious reality. We, the church, are many, but yet we are one. The point is plain and simple to understand, but we all agree is hard to live. The common analogy of a physical body gives us an easy gateway into what Paul is telling us about the local gathering. Just like our physical bodies, we as a local church, though many, are actually one. a staggering reality and comforting indeed. A fresh reminder for us today that nothing can stand in the way of that reality that we have with each other. That reality that we enjoy is done solely by the work of God, specifically the Spirit. We enjoy oneness through the work of God the Spirit, not ethnicity, not social status. All the text says that are in the church are made one. The words baptize and drink are metaphorical language to describe the work of becoming one body. We don't get some second baptism of the Spirit at which we become one. Part of our glorious redemption through the person and work of Jesus is oneness with other followers of Christ. What is clear here is that we enjoy entrance into the body of Christ through the work of the Spirit. The implications are endless. God makes us the body. Everything we enjoy in each other is given to us by Him. And we are so incredibly thankful for that today. This glorious reality, that is why we can say, though we are scattered, we are still one body. Well, let's see the next important point about the local church. Verses 15 through 20 let us know that diversity is essential for the body to thrive. Perhaps let me say that again so that it becomes apparently clear. Diversity is essential for the body to thrive. Paul moves further into the analogy of a physical body and personifies different parts of the body. Those parts he personifies reject the reality of being a part of the whole body, feeling a little less. The foot looks at the hand and decides that he or she is not important because they are a foot instead of a hand. The ear comes to the same conclusion because it's not an eye. There is just no way it can be useful to the body. No way it can actually be a part of the whole. Now, I have to believe the foolishness of a body part talking is exactly what Paul wanted to evoke in our thinking. These things are unthinkable. We know how important each part of the physical body is to our well-being. If one part ceases to exist, if one part refuses to work, it causes major problems, and the body as a whole is lacking. It is also true of the body of Christ. Those who might feel unimportant are actually very important. Why? Well, the text says, because diversity is essential for the body to thrive. If all were an eye, where would the sense of smell be? The body would be limited. Beauty is discovered by all the senses. The Grand Canyon is far more glorious when each sense, each body part, can enjoy the massive canyon. Eyes to see its grandness, feet to explore its riches, ears to listen to all the wildlife that it can sustain, hands to feel the coarse rock that make it firm. The beauty of the body of Christ is most clearly seen in its diversity, all parts functioning together. Those of you who often feel less, don't. Where would we be without you? We cannot have a strong sense of smell only to not see each other. This section is pushing worth into us all because God has arranged us all into this body. Embrace it and don't compare to one another. You are God's gift to us, the local gathering. Oh, but there is more, brothers and sisters. The next section of verses 21 through 26 teach us that dependence is necessary for the body to survive. Did you hear that? Dependence is necessary for the body to survive. This section of text has a similar argument from the text before, but with a little bit of a different nuance. Notice the speech of the body part now. I have no need of you. Wow. What pride and arrogance exudes from that statement. Who are you, I, to tell the hand that you don't need it? Are you head to tell the foot to get out of here because you don't need it? How silly and ridiculous. The emphasis here is to call into question those in the body who think themselves superior than others because their role is perceived higher, more valuable, hence the shift of body parts Paul uses in the analogy. Now, whether this arrogance is strictly based upon spiritual giftedness or social status, well, that's debatable. Though this section does fall in the midst of a larger conversation about giftedness, the principle still applies. Those that are often viewed as weaker and less honorable, as the text says, are actually indispensable and have greater honor. That has been a big emphasis of 1 Corinthians. What is typically praised, thought most important, thought to be better in God's economy are actually not. Paul goes to great lengths to rework what we as God's people do. We place honor on those who are often viewed less. We see the indispensable reality of those who are perceived as weak. We are so connected that when one suffers, we all suffer. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. As one scholar put it, Paul does not have some minimum or superficial unity in mind, but one that entails a profound solidarity between the members of the body. Brothers and sisters, we, through the work of the Spirit, are joined together in such a way that we hurt and rejoice together. Oh, what a timely word for us today. You, I, are not alone as we grapple with this dreaded virus that stands to take many more lives. If it comes to us, if it comes to you, we will fight together. We will suffer together and we will rejoice together, whatever be the end results. What help we have in our union with Christ. In Him, in His body, we have each other. Oh, that is good news. Let's see the next section of the text, verses 27 through 31. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, and ministering in various kinds of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? And I will show you still a more excellent way. Before we get into the clear point of this text, let me just clarify for a second, because as Paul moves into verse 28 and he indicates that there is first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers, well, it's probably best for us to understand that this is not a rank of importance, because that counters the entire argument of the section, but rather a chronological priority, which makes a lot of sense here with first apostles, second prophets, then teachers, thirdly, then Paul moves to the gifts. But here in this section, Paul now lands the proverbial plane upon them in their current situation. In verse 27, he now points the finger towards them and says, this is not a theoretical argument. Y'all are the body of Christ. So the implication is, act like it. Don't think less of your place in the body. Don't arrogantly think more of your place in the body. The main reason Paul gives here, alongside all the other arguments, is that there is no single office or gift that all are required to have. So take yours. Take your gift, God's grace to you, and rejoice. And might I say, use it. God appoints diversity and gives as he sees fit to the church, so eagerly desire the higher gifts. This can only mean in the context of 12 and 13 and 14, to desire, eagerly desire the higher gifts, is to desire to do the things that will most benefit the church. That's the point of your giftedness, is to benefit one another for the good of the body of Christ. Well, brothers and sisters, what are we to make of this beautiful text? Well, God has made us, the many, one body for such a time as this. We are better together. Rejoice that we have been made the body of Christ. God, in his infinite and sovereign wisdom, has made us, Light in the Desert Church, the body of Christ. Our entrance into this family is a work of God. Rejoice, because this family, our church family, will sustain this season of uncertainty. Why? Because God makes the body of Christ. He has made us, so therefore he will sustain us. God does not make things for them to fade away into nothingness. We will remain faithful to him and each other because he has made us. He has given us each other. Light in the Desert Church, it is his. Uncertainty does not often reveal answers, but it most certainly reveals clarity. Clarity on what is most important, and clarity on where our trust lies. Clarity on what we should put our hands towards. Secondly, don't underestimate the effectiveness of your doings within the people of God. Brothers and sisters, you cannot begin to imagine what a text, an email, a phone call, a card in the mail, a video chat can do in each other's life. You cannot begin to understand how comforting your words could be to another brother or sister. You, your words, all you do is important to us all. Please do them, and do them frequently in this strange season of our lives. We need each other. We are so much better together. Thirdly, you are not alone. In a season like this, confined to our homes, isolation is easy. Fight against it, because you are a part of a larger body. So therefore, you are not alone. Loneliness need not be in the vocabulary of the body of Christ, because the many are one. Lastly, if you have stumbled upon our webpage and looking for answers and you are not familiar with the body of Christ, please, might I beg just a little bit, but please, when all this is over, come visit us. But let me be clear. entrance into the body of Christ is a work of God through the Son of God, who we call Jesus. It is through faith and repentance in the person and work of Jesus that all we discuss today is ours. If you have more questions, please email, follow up. I would love to talk to you. But let us be plain. God has made us. It is through the person and work of Christ, through faith and repentance in Him, that God made us, the many, one body for such a time as this. We are better together. Might I encourage you to spend some time as a family reading this text together, praying through its implications, and singing songs. If you'll go to our website and look at our news blog, we have provided multiple resources to help you read Scripture, sing songs together, and to pray together. Please make use of those resources. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your provisions that you have given us. Father, that you have given us each other for such a time as this. And though we are scattered, it does not change our reality that you have made us one. And we rejoice because we are not alone in these difficult days. Might we exercise our gifts that you've given us. Might we exercise our responsibility to the body this week. Father, if there's someone listening to this, might you stir their hearts towards faith and repentance in the person and work of Jesus. Father, it is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.